right into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you today. Lord, I even thank you for Brother Mike, who just said that he's walking in to check on his daughter at the hospital. God, you and you alone can fix every situation. You and you alone are the one that can intervene and fix it without any explanation, something that amazes the doctor, something that amazes all your people, Lord. And we pray for that for Miss Kelsey today, Lord, by faith, by authority that you've invested in us, Yahweh. We speak healing to her body. We speak peace over the family. We bind everything that's not like you, God. And we thank you from this moment forward that all is well, Lord. They might not be able to explain it, but God, we prophesy and we proclaim that it'll never happen again. We say that she is well, God, in the name of Jesus. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts. I pray that we can see your scripture, that we can be like these men that you spoke to, that our hearts can burn within us, Lord. We pray these things. I pray that you move me out of the way, that you can speak to your people to inspire, to strengthen, to encourage, to show us your love. We believe these things by faith and we consider them done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Obviously, this week is an extremely important week. I would argue that every week as believers is a very, very important week. But as we're celebrating Good Friday in a couple days, a lot of people say, well, why is it Good Friday? Your Savior was crucified. The reason we call it Good Friday is because we know the ending of the story. We know that it was by his love that he chose to die for you and me. He chose to offer himself up as the perfect sacrifice. We know that God the Father allowed it. We know that 3 days later, by his power and his goodness, that he got up. We don't stop at an empty grave. There's a song that says something about we don't have prayers on an empty grave, and I understand the meaning of the song, but when I pray to a king that is risen. I pray to a king not in an empty grave. I pray to a king that is on the throne and all is well. He's not disturbed. He's not worried that his plans won't come about. He is a good, good father whereby you and me cry out, Abba, and he is exactly who that he says he is. Yesterday at Joshua and Isabel's school, they got to experience a foot washing, an old school foot washing is what I would call it. They got to have a Passover meal, and Alex tells me about it, and what a tradition to pass on. What an absolute amazing thing to be able to do, to humble yourself and wash the feet of one another. Alex said one of the kids asked to actually wash her feet, and she was humbled. She was inspired. It was much more of a spiritual moment for her because she understands the significance of it. And today in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, we have Jesus. He's already got up from the grave, and you have two men that are walking and they're talking, and we'll pick up Luke chapter 24, verse 13, probably go all the way through 17. The Bible says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Had to be seven, brothers and sisters. Seven represents completion. It had to be seven. God does things with numbers on purpose. Verse 14, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Just for the sake of time, the Bible goes on to say, one of the men responds, listen, who are you? Are you some kind of stranger from a foreign land? Don't you know what's happened? They've killed this man named Jesus. And he begins to explain to him who Jesus is. He begins to explain to him the things that have happened. But they didn't realize that they were talking to the risen Messiah. My question this morning I'd like to pose to all of us is, what brings Jesus close to us? Is it when we run around so busy that we barely give him time? Is it when we would rather complain about the things that we don't have rather than what we do have? Or is it when we talk to our brothers and sisters about the Lord? Notice Jesus did not draw near to them until I believe that they began to draw near to him. How do we get close to Jesus? We talk about him. We worship him. We read about him. We spend time with him. These are the ways that if you and I want Jesus to come into our life, to intervene in our situations, these are things that we must do. Why? Because the Bible gives us a promise that if we will draw near to him, then he is faithful to draw near to us. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he needs to repent. He is who he says that he is. And coming up on Resurrection Sunday, I want you to know, and I want myself to know, that God desires probably more than anything for you and me to draw near to him. He sends invitation after invitation to you and I because he wants to talk to us. He wants to converse with us. He wants to ask us questions, not because he doesn't already know the answer, but he wants you and me to come to that understanding. He wants you and me to come to that revelation of what and who he is in our lives. Have any of you ever asked your kids or grandkids or, you know, younger kids a question and you already know the answer? I do it with Joshua all the time. I already know why he did this or why he did that, but it's not important to me that I know the reason. I want him to know. Alex asks him things and works with him because she wants him to know, or she wants Isabel to know, not to beat them up and not to break them down, but it's when you see their eyes have that aha moment, have that moment that it's revealed to them why they're scared or why they're nervous or why they messed up. It's in those moments that they see a truth that they've never seen before, and I believe that's God's desire for mine and your life. I believe he wants us to not be scared. I believe he wants us to be, if we are sad, to explain that we're sad. If we are worried, to explain that we're worried. And one of the greatest ways you and me can do that today is we can have those conversations with our coworkers or with our wives or husband or pastors or apostles, whoever it is that you trust in your life, because it's those conversations that brings the God of all creation into our lives. I want to skip down to verse 30. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass," and they had invited Jesus into their home because they were walking. It was getting late. And in verse 30, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to them." Verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." Last verse, verse 32. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Might be the first example of heartburn, maybe. Maybe not. Good joke, Alex. I know you like that. When Jesus broke bread with these two individuals, when he sat down and he spoke with them and they were discussing things, it wasn't until he blessed it and he broke it and he shared with them that their eyes were opened. Brothers and sisters, you and me, when we have all this busyness going on, when we have all the things in the world going on, it's not until we will take the time to sit down and eat with the Master. We'll sit down and take time to receive from him. It's not us just calling out to God like we're rubbing a lamp trying to get a genie to come out. Sometimes the greatest prayer you'll ever have is you sitting and supping with the one that created all things. Sometimes the greatest and hardest prayer that I've ever prayed in my life is me telling God, "I'm here and I'm listening. I'm here and I'm listening. I find it absolutely amazing that the revelation did not come to them until they were willing to sit down and be calm and eat with the Master. Jesus could have revealed himself to them at any given point in history, but he chose to wait until all things were calm. He chose to wait until they were seated. He chose to wait until they were ready to receive nutrients for their body. Today, I want to encourage you and let you know that it's okay if you're waiting and it's okay if you're receiving. And I don't know the situation that you're in necessarily, but I know that 7 days ago, I had a coworker walk into a cancer ward and get a scan. And I knew God had already showed me and God had already told me. He had allowed me to see that she was already healed. She was already okay. And about 4 days ago, I got the news that my co-worker is cancer free. You see today, brothers and sisters, hallelujah. I serve a God that does exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask, think, or imagine. But it wasn't until I was willing to sit down with him, until I was willing to hear from him, that my co-worker was already healed. He had tried to give me the answer many different ways, but God was making me sit down and eat. He was making me sit down and realize who he was. He was making me make a choice. I could be busy or I could sit. I could do what the world wanted me to do, or I could sit in the presence of the King. And today I want you to know that you serve a risen King. You serve a King that can heal and that will deliver and set everybody free. You and me serve a God that is full of peace and joy and love and all sorts of gifts in the Holy Ghost. We serve a risen King. So this day I say to you that all is well. I thank God for healing my coworker, but I thank him for the things to come. And I make a declaration this day that I will sit and I will sup with the King. I'll have communion with him. I'll listen to him more than I just ask for things. I want to encourage us today to know that we can sit before him, and it's not laziness like the enemy tries to put before us. It's not being a confused, or it's not being not eloquent with words. It's an act of worship when you can sit before him who knew no sin but chose some 2,000 years ago to go to a cross. And he did not allow the story to stop there. 3 days later, he got up and he chose to talk to two men. He could have talked to 20,000 people, but he chose to speak to two men to let them know to slow down, to let them know that, listen, it's okay that you didn't recognize me. Jesus, it's never recorded in the scripture that Jesus condemned them for not realizing who he was. It's never recorded in the scripture that Jesus told them, okay, go to hell because you didn't realize who I was. He never beats them up or condemns them. Why do we allow the enemy to condemn us so much when the scripture is full of examples? It's full of examples of him giving us hope, him giving us forgiveness, him giving us love, him conquering all with love and mercy and grace. Yet we'll allow the enemy to beat us up day after day after day because we forgot to pray, or we forgot to do this, or we committed this sin. Jesus said, listen, Father, I forgive them and I thank you that you forgive them. On the middle of one of his last breaths on earth, he forgave people. It was the most extravagant. It was the most extravagant example of mercy. It was reckless love. It was a love like the world had never seen before, and the world didn't know what to do with it. But God did. God said, come on home, and then one day I'll send you back again. Never allow the enemy to condemn you or beat you up for missing it. These men got to have hours and hours, I believe hours and hours of conversation with the Messiah, with the resurrected Messiah. And it took them to the very end and they finally recognized who he was. And the Bible says that he vanished from their sight. And the only thing they could say to one another is, didn't our hearts burn within us? It's an example, I believe, today in closing, That when our hearts burn within us, when we know God wants us to give, or we know God wants us to say something, or we know God wants us to pray or share the gospel, or we know that God wants us to forgive again, and I don't care, forgive again, and I don't care, forgive again. When we know that God wants us to show extravagant mercy, because extravagant mercy is what I get every single day. It's an example that these men missed him. They could have worshiped him. They missed so many opportunities, but Jesus never condemns them. On the contrary, he vanishes once they realize who he was, and they didn't know anything to do but to run back and to tell people that they had a conversation with the risen Messiah. Today, I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself to know that we serve a God that chose how he died. It wasn't by accident. Nobody controlled it. Nobody orchestrated it but him and him alone. God is not worried or scared of your sin or my sin. God is not scared or worried of the condition of the Republican or the Democratic or the whatever party. God is not, he's not moved by those things. He's waiting for you and me to stand up and to take the authority that he gave us. And he's waiting for us to make it on earth as it is in heaven. He's waiting on you and me to take that authority, to take our place back, that we know who we are in him. God healed my coworker. Man, God healed my coworker in such a way I was a few minutes late for volleyball practice. And I know that's not a big deal to a lot of people, but I'm usually 20, 30 minutes early. But when I got the news, I didn't know anything else to do but to cry and to pray and to thank the one that did it. I know your heart burns. I know my heart burns for him. And I know that when we miss it, I know that when we don't speak or when whatever happens, we feel a little condemnation, but don't stop there. Go back to him and ask him for another chance. Go back to him and talk to him. Go back to him and listen to him. I promise you today that it's amazing if you'll sit before the king and allow him to give you wisdom. If you'll sit before the king and allow him to give you knowledge, the things that you'll hear, the mysteries that you'll hear. God is exactly who he says. And on Resurrection Sunday, in a couple days, I thank him for never giving up on me. And I thank him for never giving up on you. I thank you that he is well. I thank you that he desires to not only speak to millions and millions of people, but he'll take the time to speak to you and me. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you today, God, that you love us enough to speak to us. And God, when we do get busy, I pray that you will give us the understanding to just sit before you, to break bread, to have communion, to speak and to listen, to have a real conversation with you, Yahweh. Jesus, I thank you for how you did it. I thank you that you were willing to die, to suffer a death that you did not deserve. But I thank you that you rose in all majesty, all glory, because that's what you deserve. I thank you seeing the best in us. I thank you for loving us. And by faith, we consider these things done, God. And I thank you beforehand. God, I thank you beforehand that Kelsey's fine. I thank you not only is she fine, she's whole. I speak it in your name. I speak her wellness in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you again for healing my coworker. By faith, we love you. We consider them done. We consider all this done. And we thank you for the celebration we get to have in a couple days. Happy Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.